We're in. Welcome to the Creep Dive. It's 11:11, make a wish.
11:11, good luck or bad luck?
Good luck.
What was the, I thought 11, is 11:11 not September 11th?
No, that's 9:11 and we've covered it so many times. Excuse me.
There's still more to come though, guys.
It's not the 11th of November, it's 11:11 a.m.
11:11, ah. Well, it's wonderful. There's much chat in the Patreon about this, the what jizz actually smells like.
Oh, excellent. Horrendous. Are we on mic?
We are.
Let's hear it. What do they, did anyone agree with my assessment that it smells like a swimming pool?
Interesting you say that, because I think the most accurate one here is one by Philip saying it smells like bleachy damp towels.
There you go.
Bleach.
Yeah. Bleachy damp towels.
Swimming pools.
Philip, you and I are on the same page. Yeah.
Jennifer says salty bleach. Correct.
Oh, see, God. this is we're okay. This is a main episode. So anybody who didn't hear it, we recorded a hive last week. So we had a story about that involved some jizz and the gals. I mean, I wouldn't know.
Guys, what the hell was the story again? What? Why were we talking about cum?
We were talking about the downfall. This is amazing. Actually, we were talking about different examples of a very popular English author, OBE.
Oh, yes.
And TV talent.
TV talent and different stories pertaining
to talent.
He or she. And which was amazing because the very next day there was some mainstream expose press coverage of this particular person and saying some pretty horrendous things.
What were the additional things that came up for this unnamed author?
Some comments that were recorded during the
right.
A show where he called a pensioner a cunt. Oh God. He called a pensioner some awful things.
Why can't you say that?
I don't know, they just felt really uncomfortable there.
Uncomfortable.
And he made some other sexually explicit comments about some of the other guests. So he's a pretty, he or she is a pretty shitty person.
Just jokes, Kat.
It's just been a long time rumors in publishing industry. And there was a lot on kind of publishing Twitter and publishing Instagram. There was a lot of people being like, guys, it's happening. Finally, the cascade of, you know, all the skeletons in his closet or hers are going to come out.
Yeah, the truth will set
the truth will out. Exactly. Now, it's now gone quite quiet, as it does with these things, because
OBE.
There's a pretty big PR machine behind these people. But I saw one. There's so many journalists who was trying to gather a bit of intel. So watch this space. But also, can we have a hand for Sophie Voice Talent White?
Calling
the
it.
The prescience of that
finger
hive.
On the button.
Fire on the pulse.
So did that hive came out and the next day?
The next day it all broke.
Well,
so a lot of people
done.
Messaged being like, that is incredible timing. Look, we set the news agenda. We have for many years. This week I have a story of mysterious fires in a small Italian town.
Excellent. Love a bit of this. This reminds me of both mine and Louis Theroux's favorite documentary of all time, where the tiny boy tries to set fire, or does set fire, to his own family home.
Oh yeah.
Love that. It's called Blast. I can never remember the name. I have a creep of the week, however.
Go on.
A man by the name of Arthur Knight. Have you been following this at all?
No.
A few days ago, a man was arrested in a Scottish hospital. Sorry, he was arrested last year, and he is now, it's been unveiled that he is US fugitive Nicholas Rossi. So he claimed to have been the victim of mistaken identity, but his tattoos and fingerprints matched that of Rossi. So he was extradited over allegations of rape and sexual assault. And it's alleged that he faked his own death, fled to Scotland to escape prosecution, spent the last year insisting he was Arthur Knight, an orphan from Ireland who'd never even been to the US.
What?
Yeah. Why would you pick a name like Arthur Knight? Like, that just like screams like Knights
fake.
Of the Round Table.
Well,
like,
exactly. Yeah. So he claimed he'd been given the distinctive tattoos matching those of Rossi while he was lying unconscious in Glasgow in the hospital.
Right.
In an attempt to frame him, he claimed they tattooed him while he was under general anaesthetic.
No.
Yeah. Now, then there was a 3-day hearing. Sheriff Norman McFade said, "I'm ultimately satisfied on the balance of probabilities that Mr. Knight is indeed Nicholas Rossi." So isn't that something?
Something interesting.
Show us the tash.
Fool me once. Look at him. That's him. And here he is in the hospital. Or coming out of the hospital.
Oh, no way.
It's himself. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
He's got the poppy.
He's got the...
Representing.
Well, Irishman.
Irish, I
yeah,
know.
Interesting.
That's a bit of a tell.
A bit of a tell there. Bit of a mess up there.
Well, congratulations are in order. Don't know if you guys have you guys congratulated Nick Cannon yet?
On his 11th 12th. Baby?
No, sorry, his 11th baby was born just ahead of his 12th.
There's so hang on, I have a timeline.
Give it.
Okay, dating back to July. Okay, Nick Cannon, July 2020, Nick Cannon announces he's had a baby, his 8th, with Brie Chiesi. This baby is called Legendary Love Cannon.
No.
Stop. I love it.
September.
Legendary Love Cannon.
Yeah.
Is it a boy?
I need to double check that because I don't want Pop Bitch to be making fun of me. Yeah, Legendary Love Cannon. Okay. Next up, September 2022, Nick Cannon announces he's had a baby, his 9th, with Lanisha Cole, called Onyx Ice Cole Cannon.
Onyx
Ice Cole.
In the name
of God.
September 2022, Nick Cannon announces he's had a baby, his 10th, with Brittany Bell. This one called Rise Messiah Cannon.
Okay. I forgot Cannon was his legit second name. Sorry. Yes, of course. Rise Messiah. I like that one.
October 2022, Nick Cannon announces he's expecting a baby, his 11th, with Alyssa Scott, as yet unnamed.
Interesting.
We have a little bit of time to wait before we find that one out. And as of this month, November 2022, Nick Cannon announces he's expecting a baby, his 12th, with Abby De La Rosa.
Guys, doesn't it feel also, like something else is going on here?
Side note.
Yeah.
When Nick Cannon was married to Mariah Carey, he admitted to masturbating to her music. As Pop Bitch says, a habit he may want to consider picking back up. Stop spraying it in the ladies. Start spraying it into... a sock?
A tissue? What about, isn't there something...
What about a lovely masonry jar? And then he could get a lovely label maker and he could do a bit of Mormon mom TikTok content.
Do you remember we had the cum drawer not so long ago? He could practice that.
Oh, of course. That's one of the best, isn't it?
What about, don't you think it smells a little funny, this?
Can we not?
It's not like the other women don't know that this is going on. So do you think there's some sort of conspiracy afoot here? Are they trying to... Is this a new cult? Is there some attempt to take over, to create a town with a very tight genealogy? Is it an experiment? Is it... Like, what is it? Because I know that a lot of the women have been interviewed.
Mm.
They seem very happy and, you know, getting on with their lives. And no one's in a flame.
I would just say to... I'd say there's a scale of happiness among the women, right? First mother of his first baby, most unhappy.
Yeah.
And most recent mother of future baby, most happy. And the happiness corresponds to how much Nick Cannon's fortunes are dwindling.
Massive.
With each addition.
Huge.
Of a child. So the mother of baby number one, fucking worried.
Massively.
And pissed off.
And broke.
That all these heirs apparent are fucking still spewing out of his knob.
Is he going to have to go back to Mariah for a loan for the child maintenance on all of the other children?
Yeah, no, I'd say you need to take a mortgage.
Because he's a presenter on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a good gig.
That's going to be a good gig.
But how good for...
Putting 12, let's say he caps out at 12,
well,
which I don't believe he will.
I saw a thing that said
putting
Nick Cannon...
kids through school.
Nick Cannon reveals his child support bill.
Awesome. Let's have it.
Let me try and find it. I saw a quick headline. His annual child support bill is more than $3 million.
I'm sure he's raking in more than that, though.
$3 million a year.
Well, let's see. Nick Cannon net worth 2020.
Stinger.
Like you would.
Cannon's net worth is 20 mil. So he's got 7 more years of support.
Like vasectomizing yourself would be no issue. Like not DIY, but hitting it.
It's
up
like
a doctor.
He's building like a little two little basketball teams there.
There's an interestingness to it that's strange. Like, why wouldn't you just? You could just come. You could still freely come in anyone you
just
want.
Just wrap it up.
Yeah.
That's I think he, like, he must like having
condom
kids.
Sex so much that he's willing to pay $3 million a year to not have to have condom sex. But also, I'd be a bit worried about the STIs.
Yeah. That's only 12 kids that we know of.
Fascinating.
Okay, who's got something meaty?
Right, let me take you to December 2003. We're in a place called Cneto di Caronia, a one-street town just north of Sicily. There's a man called Antonio Pizzino.
Antonio.
And Pizzino is at home with his family and he realizes that his house is on fire. The source is... Sorry.
So sorry. Do you know what? It's just occurred to me. I know what Nick Cannon's doing.
What?
He's creating a cast for a reality show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's going to take care of the maintenance forever.
Some sort of Big Brother-esque where it's like Big Baby.
What would it be called?
Like it's Big fucking Daddy. John and Kate plus 8, except it's Cannon plus, you know, 12 dozen or whatever he's going to tap out it. But yeah, like
Cannon by the dozen.
No, clearly Cannon's balls.
Very good.
Okay, sorry, Cass. I just needed to.
So get Tony's at home smelling smoke and it ain't a stroke.
Yeah, so he realizes the source is a fuse box engulfed by flames so intense that they swallowed the heavy curtains that hung nearby. So Pizzino is 43 years old. He's an insurance salesman. He put out the fire, snapped a picture of what was left, a black and gray tangle of wires against a sooty white wall. So their house and where they live is a small street. It's like their really small little house, tight, shadowy interiors, crowded with dark textiles, heavy wooden furniture, framed photographs, a normal home, normal small little fire connected to a fuse box. But then a few days later, the kitchen fan caught fire and then the television and other appliances started to combust as if by some sort of magic secret hand.
Or the electric's coming into the gaff.
That's it.
Voltage issue.
Magic secret hand cannon is Cannon's 13th child.
What a high voltage.
I predict it.
High voltage. Small town is home to about 3,400 people. It's halfway between Palmero and Messina, overlooking the sea. It's a city of like bricklayers, construction workers, small business owners, farmers. Like it is a nice, just a quaint little village. 39 people lived in a dozen houses along a road called Via Mare. Another 100 residents lived in the surrounding hillside. So we're kind of focusing on this one street of Via Mare, of those 39 people in a dozen houses. So the fire was a little bit unusual, but contained to Pizzino's house for the moment. But in the weeks that followed, Pizzino's neighbors, his father, his mother, his aunt and his cousins, who lived close together in 4 or 5 of the attached houses, also experienced unexplained fires. The Pizzino had built his home in 1980s and now he assumed the faulty wiring was to blame. So at the end of the January of 2004, he changed the wiring, but the fires persisted. So the fires began to spread. The family began to suspect problems with the town's whole electrical grid, which was run by a company called ENEL. The National Electric and Gas Provider. Pizzino called Enel, but the company was unresponsive. So one Sunday afternoon, he called a man called Pedro Spinato, the mayor of Coronia. And the two men were actually quite good friends because for a time after Spinato was elected, Pizzino had served in his cabinet in 1996. So when Spinato arrived, the mayor arrived to kind of check out the house. He was like, yeah, something seems really weird. Two electricians had tested the frazzled electrical systems, but they couldn't find the source of the flames. So they decided to cut power from the central plant to the houses until they knew what the problem was. But the fires kept coming.
No.
Even with electricity off.
Very odd. It's the magic hand. It's an individual. The magic hand.
Metal, plastic, insulation all burned. Throughout the village, outlets burned red hot through the holes. Cords lit up like sparklers. Electrical motors melted. Appliances were going up in flames left, right and centre.
And there was no electricity going into any of that.
There was no electricity. So it wasn't necessarily the electrical.
But it was specific to electrical items.
Kind of. They all seemed to be starting at electrical things. In the first 3 months of 2004, residents reported 92 fires.
What the hell?
Yeah,
God,
wild. Just got a little arson.
Did you say in 2 months?
In the first 3 months of 2004. Yeah. Now I have just started binging Station 19, so I believe that there are 4 to 5 fires a day anyway in like small areas, because that's what I'm learning from.
What's
this
Station 19?
It's a Grey's Anatomy spin-off. I was like, I want something that I can put on in the background when I'm cooking or cleaning. That is like an easy watch that I don't have to pay attention to.
And yeah, they're firefighters.
They're firefighters, and I'm staying up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning average, and like I'm a 9 p.m. kind of bedtime gal, and I'm bawling my eyes out at the deaths that are on Station 19. I'm completely addicted. I've watched 4 seasons in 2 weeks.
Does Backdraft feature heavily in that?
Backdraft, never. Everything. I'm learning so much about fires.
It's amazing. Do you know Dan's dad used to be chief fire officer of Dublin?
Oh,
I did not.
Did Dan not doesn't know a thing about fires.
What you say, Dan? Did he not grow up? About his father.
Sorry, did he not grow up in the station and be raised by the brotherhood that is the firefighters?
So, Cass,
what a shame!
Ripped off now.
What a shame.
Well, for, on his behalf.
So, top tip: Station 19.
Can't believe they called it Station 19 after Station 11 was released. It's too confusing.
What's Station 11?
The adaptation of the book Station 11. No. You know, kind of post-apocalypse stuff.
No, no.
So what's her...
It seems like they should have thought that through. Well, like a quick Google would tell you.
Perfect. I won't hear anything said bad against
okay.
it.
Okay. Electrical fire happens in your house. Smother, moisten, or foam.
Electrical fires, steer clear of water. I think it's a towel or one of the non-foamy extinguishers.
Use the fire...
Fire blanket.
Would a fire blanket do it?
A fire blanket, I think, is your first... Jesus. Point of call.
Well, okay. Good to know, everyone.
Jesus, I don't have a single one of those items.
I know.
Do you?
Yeah.
You have an extinguisher.
Came with the gap.
Came with the gap.
There's a lot to be said for a new build.
A very small step, but you know yourself.
And come here to me, is it very warm? Do you have an A rating?
We do, yeah. Yeah. Would you believe? Sweating away in our airtight fire.
A lot to be said for the new build.
Full of fire, though.
So one of... Oh yeah, so they're kind of focusing on the electrical fires. One of Pizzino's neighbors had installed a new electrical system just 6 months earlier, and it too had caught fire.
Hmm.
So it's not the wiring.
It's a guy.
Well,
it has to be.
We're going to get into some of the theories as to what is happening here, because there's too many fires for it to be considered like
it's arsonist.
But there's a lot of fires going on, and people's homes are being destroyed, and it's their family here. Do you know? Like they're all connected.
Everybody knows each other.
Yeah, and if we're focusing on like this kind of dozen houses, it's unlikely. Or but is it?
Is arsonist the right phrase?
Yeah.
Arsonist, yeah.
It's almost like it's not like a fetish, but it's like an unquenchable interest in watching things burn.
Yeah. But there's sometimes ulterior motives there as well. There's insurance claims, there's whatever. But like Pizzino is an insurance salesman. So like
Right.
There's...
Oh.
But he's okay. That's an interesting angle. Presumably he's got his whole neighbors on his policies.
Well, here's the thing. Pizzino is the guy who becomes the face of these fires because he's the one kicking up the most fuss. And he's the one who's drawing attention. Like, I mean, media attention, international media attention started going on this town because people were so confused as to what was happening. He was calling on the mayor and officials to investigate what was going on. He was the one who was on to the electrical system guys being like, there's something amiss here and our houses are burning.
You're right, Tony.
And
his
house was the first
Pyro Pizzino.
Pyro Tony,
right? So on February 9th, 2004, two houses burned. One of Pizzino's neighbors rushed to the local police station with the bottom of his pants burned and his shoes on fire. shit. Yeah.
Would you not stop and put it out?
Drop and roll. Drop and roll.
I can't. I must get to the police station.
Do you know what, though? He probably got there very quick.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Scorch marks on the ground.
Put the pedal to the metal if you're on fire.
Oh, there's a brilliant one here, but I don't know what it is. Something about your shoes on fire. Never mind, keep going, Cassidy.
So he was really flustered, ran into the police station, and he's reported of saying that the devil was burning behind him. So first major theory that hits this town, Satan.
Go Satan. Yes. Satan. That, I love it.
That Satan is somehow
Satan.
Well, we're deep in Sicily here. We're in the Catholic realm.
We're deep we're in the grass. That's the thing. Yeah. Very
infernos.
Catholic. Priests mm-hmm. everywhere.
Satan loves infernos.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the
priests
thing.
Priests everywhere. House is on fire. Call the priest.
So the mayor, that day the mayor of Spinato came along and ordered the residents of Via Mare to evacuate. So that kind of stretch of a few dozen houses. He said that you can't imagine something like this. Usually you know how and why things are happening, but we didn't with the fires. We didn't know how to face them. So the residents were relocated to the Zamaria, the only hotel in Caneto, located on a hill directly above the village. So Pizzino was evacuated to a nearby apartment, but he hated being away from his home. He had kept pets back at home, and he obviously wasn't allowed to have them you know, where he was. He was saying, I was born here. I always lived here. The evacuation seemed like a prison sentence. He said, I felt like I was trespassing when I used to have to go to bed, and that he was in a kind of an apartment block with other people who'd been evacuated. Downstairs, there were two children. If you moved, you would wake them up. So they were just like on
tenter hooks.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. They were just like uncomfortable, out of your own place, and not understanding why things kept going on fire. So on the 11th of February, the public prosecutor announced an investigation into the fires. For the residents, the inquiry was a slap in the face because they were like, is this insinuating that there's someone involved, that someone in our small community is responsible? So they welcomed the investigation and the chance to be exonerated. Government investigators, engineers, scientists and technicians monitored the homes around the clock. On the 13th of February, Massimo Polidoro of an organization called the Committee for Investigation of Claims of Pseudosciences. He was a psychologist, writer, and TV personality. He wasn't involved in the investigation. He went to interview the investigators to talk about it for his website and wanted to kind of understand what was going on. So the investigators who spoke said that they were totally stumped by the fires, and then they thought perhaps there might be a connection to sort of earthquakes and volcanoes and volcanology, that Sicily and Italy have a lot of earthquakes. In September 2002, which was about kind of 18 months before, nearly 2 years before the first fire. No, sorry. The first fire was in December of 2003. So 13 months before the first fire, there had been a significant earthquake of magnitude 5.6 that shook Sicily, causing major damage in the surrounding areas in the city. The following month, there had been another earthquake further away in southern Italy that had killed 27 children. So maybe this is disturbing the power grids underneath the city. Maybe the shifting of the earth is causing some weird sort
had
of
they or a plague from God.
Yes, mm-hmm. That. But were they looking for an individual yet?
No, they were, because they were popping up so frequently and so the bureau connects to electrical fires. They were thinking that it had to be something to do with the electric. So okay. They were kind of trying to, they were considering something in the realm of electromagnetic fields. Okay. And they were like,
this is a case for modern and Scully.
They it really is. Go very extreme.
You mentioned
very quickly.
Pets.
Yeah.
Animals can be desperate for this.
Not that level of fires.
Well, like the chew through.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chewed electrical wires. So they were thinking that the seismic activity of the volcanoes and earthquakes were likely culprit. Like, I mean, they were always blamed was the thing, yeah, if anything had gone wrong. But they said there was no indication that the fires were connected to volcanic or seismic activity. If it were volcanic activity, the effect would not only burn the electrical wires in that way. So one of the things was, I suppose, when they examined the when they were examining the electrical wires, was that the burn pattern was happening on the exterior of the wires and not interior.
What a surprise.
So it seemed like it would, you know, if it was something connected to the electrical, if there was a wrong current going through things, or there was some sort of thing, it would start from the inside of the wires. So technicians from Enel and the railway nearby failed to find anything unusual. The telecom lines looked fine. A member of the National Research Council of Italy presented the idea that the fires could have been caused by an abnormal increase in the electrical field. Others were more skeptical, suspected a human cause. Sergio Conte,
I think divine cause. Mm. I think the fires were punishment.
Yeah, so it was Sergio Conte, a telecom expert.
Sins of the community.
Sins. It was a man called Sergio Conte, who was a telecom expert, who discovered that at the wires, the heat only blackened and charred the outside, and he realized that the damage was not due to an electrical malfunction. So one person who was sure of what started the fires was Padre Gabriel Amorth, a Catholic priest in Rome, who believed that it was divine.
No way.
That it was Satan. Someone had summoned Satan into the town through either white or black magic, which is the preferred gateway to Satan, according to Padre Gabriel. So
any pentagrams?
Nothing. He was calling for them to call priests and go exorcise the house. That, yes, there was something to exorcise the houses.
The original kind of house, or do them all?
Do them all. Like, Jesus, you know, if you're going to go up, in for a penny, in for a pound.
In holy water.
They're such wheeler dealers, the Catholic Church, because you know every one of those homeowners would have had to buy them a bottle of whiskey and a little envelope of something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they're anything like Irish priests.
But the local priest was like, this is absolutely absurd. So that priest was from Rome, and the local priest was like, this is absurd. The inhabitants of this town are hardworking people who struggle every day to bring home bread, not Satanism.
You can bring bread and Satanism.
You could.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. So, but Padre Amorth was saying, look, the devil acts as part of ordinary life. Fires in houses are a very extraordinary manifestation. Yeah. But doing an exorcism on a house is one of the most difficult things for an exorcist to do. Many times the exorcist fails, and the only solution is to leave the house and move to a new one.
Mm. Mm. So why would it be
a lot
so
of
difficult?
Bureaucracy there involved in the second option. Mm. Like exorcism, less forms to fill out, less hemorrhaging of money.
Yeah, and they're still confused as to what's going on. Meanwhile,
is everyone just too polite to point the finger at Tony?
Well, yeah, I think because they're family, like.
But maybe Tony has alibis for the other fires as well.
Yeah,
like,
and there's
so many
up,
fires, that,
and they're
like,
popping
surely,
up all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, they're popping in places where he's not there.
Yeah.
So stick with though. Meanwhile, the situation up in the hotel is getting worse. The investigation on Via Mare is blocking access to the hotel for other residents. The hotel lawyers were sending letters to the mayor looking for $100,000 in expenses, because they were like putting these people up all the time. By March 16th, they were evacuated in February, a couple of fires. March 16th, the fires returned. So the investigators monitoring the area noticed other oddities as well. Car locks were malfunctioning. Cell phones rang with no satellite signal.
Okay, this is very odd.
A car antenna became so hot that it cracked a windshield. Compasses were going haywire.
Is the classic.
This is just the modern day equivalent of a plague of locusts.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just God's gone high tech. He had to move at the times.
Cell phones ringing without any service.
Weird.
And anyone answering?
I don't know.
What happened to the car again? It just got boiling hot.
The antenna got so
must
hot.
Must have been conducting heat.
Yeah, it cracked the windshield.
So back to electricity.
And the car locks were malfunctioning. So the residents appointed a consultant, Francesco Valenti, an engineer from Capodoro Orlando, a city that is about 25 miles away. He filed a 30-page document titled A Qualitative Report and Definitive Solution to Secure Canato de Coronia.
Okay.
So he called the fires unforeseeable electromagnetic events caused by roaming electrical charges, like lightning without a storm.
How interesting.
An electromagnetic force is created by the interactions between electrically charged particles. Think magnets clinging together or repelling each other when the charge is reversed. So he advocated for removing the railway lines, changing the angles of the power cables, yes, and fixing all the electrical systems above and below
Isn't
the ground
that fascinating? Area.
Yeah. So he was like, this is what is happening. These electric magnetic things. But I think trying to break it down and reading about this, people sort of laughed at this explanation, because what he was saying was that there are some, essentially what are lasers, starting the fires.
Okay.
And they were like, well, if there were lasers, the fires would be external and not internal in
Absolutely.
The houses. And also, where is that coming from?
Where are they coming from?
So Valenti's recommendations were not adopted, but the fires did stop. In June 2004, the residents of Via Mare were moved back into their homes for the Sicilian summer. Although the flames were gone, the sense of mystery lingered.
You'd be very uncomfortable now.
Especially
in
summer.
Yeah.
Move back in winter, where it's like a little bit less combustible.
Yeah. So as there was a lot of like international attention around these fires, online speculation and like armchair experts started to grow. And so they were sending letters and things back to the town trying to explain what had happened. One letter was from a man called Robert Fritzius, a retired US Navy lieutenant and electrical engineer from Mississippi. He wrote that he'd become obsessed with the fires and what was starting. And his theory was that Etna was plugged up. So Mount Etna, a volcano in the area, which is a huge volcano, obviously. He explained that he was sure that volcanic gases were involved in creating a type of spontaneous combustion. And he said that an engineer in Palermo hypothesized that two fault lines crisscrossed under the city and that some of the volcanic magma and gases intermingled with them and caused what caused the fires, and that once Etna did spill some lava and had a mild eruption, the fires completely went away.
Like some kind of pressure was relieved.
Yeah.
But
so
how would the mingling still get up above ground?
Well, that like maybe through the lines or the things that were.
All of this seems so far-fetched.
It's so scientific and so weird. But they did say that the engineer from Palmero was a man called Aldo Bargallo, and he said that if you go scuba diving near the Aeolian Islands, where I did, which is close to the area, you will find that there are gas bubbles from the bottom of the sea. Those bubbles are sulfur, which is full of volcanic gas. Mm-hmm. So it might be an evidence of connection between the chain of volcanoes that make up the islands and Etna around impacting something underneath the ground that is maybe causing gases or things to come up, seep up through the houses and start fires.
Okay.
But very, very tenuous, right?
That sounds like something I would make up.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This is something to do with the volcano over there.
Call me science,
sure,
Sophie.
So we've had the theory of Satan. We've had the theory of volcanic gases.
Yes.
We've had electromagnetic fields, which is essentially a laser.
Yeah.
And then seismic shifting underneath the ground. So they're kind of going through everything scientifically. None of these focus groups that have been pulled together can come up with any definitive answers as to what is happening. The most, I suppose, robust report is that 30-page document about the electromagnetic fields, and that's been completely ignored by officials. So the residents are back in their homes, but in October 2004, the seasons changed and the fires returned. once more.
Winter, the fires kicked off again.
October, the fires kick off again. And this time, in
people
addition
are
to the
probably
flames,
building legitimate fires in their homes
truth.
To keep warm.
Yeah, but in this time, in addition to flames and fires, pipes and tubes developed holes and burst, flooding the homes with water.
What the fuck is going on?
In Pizzino's kitchen, the tubes under the sink were punctured, and Pizzino let, obviously newspapers came right away. Pizzino left them into their home, and he said, "At first, we were at risk of burning. Now we're at risk of drowning." They were just saying that, like,
that might be overstating it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, just a little, just paddling through the water. But they were just saying that their homes are now filling them with stress and anxiety and not a place of comfort that they should be. So, of course, there was another evacuation beginning in October 2004, continued through June 2005, felt like a lifetime for the townspeople. They really felt like they had been abandoned and wanted desperately to return home. They slept in city offices to protest against the government and their inaction. Spinato, the mayor, stayed with them in solidarity. So the investigator Valenti, who had posed the theory of geomagnetic activity, did say that the holes confirmed his theory. So according to him, the holes, like fires, were caused by a type of electrical currents burning through the pipes. So he was faulting the investigators for not monitoring the town 24 hours a day as they were supposed to. Residents called the researchers, were shouting, sorry, residents were started kind of verbally abusing the researchers and their inactivity and their lack of answers as to what was going on. So by April of 2005,
Jesus, this has been really
it's going on. Yeah. The Italian government had to put together a new research group. So it was coordinated by a man called Francesco Verando, from an interdisciplinary team, which included chemists, physicists, geomagneticists and professors. The team had the cooperation of the Air Force, the Navy, the police, alongside the ENEL, the electrical grid people, the communications ministry, the rail network, and the National Institute of Geophysics and Volcanology. So there's a massive task force here. So to give that context, the National Institute of Geophysics, Physicists and Volcanology, the INGV, is taken so seriously in Italy that in 2009, when the agency failed to predict an earthquake that killed over 300 people, an Italian court found 7 of its scientists guilty of manslaughter.
Joe!
And 1 was sentenced to prison.
Whoa!
Yeah, so that's how, like, scientific, I guess, they are considered.
Scientists rarely end up in prison.
Ever.
And for a natural disaster?
That they didn't predict.
I guess they should have been
that
on it.
That seems
more.
A bit unfair.
It seems
yeah,
a bit.
Doesn't it?
Probably one to go deeper on for a further creep. So Venerando's team flew military planes over the area, took pictures of the town and the surrounding landscape, telephoto lenses. They sailed on research vessels. They analyzed the magnetic charge and chemical composition of the sea. Helicopters conducted radar and magnetic surveys on electromagnetic fields. They monitored and mapped radio, electric signals and meteorological patterns. And instead of focusing just on the town, they sought to understand the entire area, the natural or artificial forces affecting the region, including the sea and the airspace above. So soon the team excluded natural causes. Nothing in the realm of science proved unique when you compared the town to neighboring towns. They didn't find anything unusual in the technical installations, railway lines, electrical lines, and so on. What they did find were increased levels of spontaneous electromagnetic activity that could not be attributed to a natural phenomena. So they decided that the fires had to have an artificial cause. They had to be something else around here.
I said some kind of mass experiment by the government.
Well,
Cassie and I just recorded
that becomes
a conspiracy heavy episode.
That does become another theory that I didn't really go deep on.
So they're now suggesting that somebody or a team.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna throw me down. I've been the shit.
Okay.
So back to Tony. No? Or like a kind of a like a higher up sort of governmentally.
Yeah, this is like some kind of, you know, it's like Area 51 shit. We've got aliens, they haven't gone. That's the theory. They haven't gone down yet.
This is cool.
No, they do go down the UFO theory. Yeah.
Now, again, hate to bring it back, but they've definitely cleared human.
No, they're saying it has an artificial root, but they immediately go to like top level stuff, right?
They are now talking about the damage that electrical. Because they're finding these. What did I say there? Increased levels of spontaneous electromagnetic activity. Valenti, who had done the first report on the electromagnetic stuff, started blaming the government for not adopting his suggestions. He says, "I was right and everyone opposed me was dead wrong." He faulted the city for not letting people back into their homes. And he also lashed out at Venerando's team, the second report, for failing to discover the cause despite abundant resources. Still, in the following months, they allowed the residents to return to their homes. Hmm. So Rando's team is continuing the investigation, undaunted by the criticism. No house fires occurred during the research, but in the mountains outside the town, they find two dense patches of grass that look like they have been consumed by a fire that had come from underground. So they compared the burn marks on the grass
with volcanic gas.
They compared the burn marks on the grass with marks on the power cords and found the patterns to be identical.
God.
Whatever had caused the fires in the home had also burned the plants. Aerial photos showed that Kaneto and the plants seemed to be aligned in a straight path extending from the sea into town and up to the mountains, as though a channel of fire had torched all three. Their hypothesis was that the plants had somehow conducted the same burst of electromagnetic waves as Kaneto. On the coast below town, hundreds of blue sea creatures similar to jellyfish washed up on the beach.
All this
seemed to suggest that whatever was causing the fires was coming from outside. The researchers believed that the town and its surroundings were being struck by intense bursts of electromagnetic waves of some kind at such a large scale that it couldn't be generated by one person. Back to lasers.
So the engineer's report is kind of proving to be true
that there is some sort of increased electromagnetic activity.
Were they saying that like the origin of the laser then could be the ocean?
That there was potentially something.
Like if it's cutting a path from the ocean up to those
mountains. Yeah, I'm not scientific enough to understand, but I think that the theory is that the sea is somehow connected. And gotcha. There's certainly something underneath that maybe is conducting these
electromagnetic. Who knows?
Experimental lasers and weapons is a theory that's floated that
the US government are
involved and the Italian government are allowing them to test.
Wait, what year
weapons?
Was this?
2003, 2005.
Obama.
He was 2008, wasn't he?
Bush.
Way more likely.
Back to the investigation. Veranda's team said one of the strangest things his team witnessed during the study was an incident involving a helicopter. As the team patrolled the area, something hit three of the aircraft's rotor blades, rupturing the protective coating of each of the blades. They suspected a bird strike, but when the researchers checked out the helicopter, they couldn't find any biological traces. Not a drop of blood. At other times, the group noticed objects moving around the sky. On occasion, they would disappear with great speed. So we're not in condition to scientifically define the phenomenon. We did not touch them. We did not get inside. Yeah.
The press reported extensively
on these flying objects. In addition to the devil, they now had definitive UFO sightings.
Fucking amazing. Do you know what just occurred to me? Maybe. You remember the movie Howdy Hody Neighbor? Truman Show.
Oh, yeah.
Where they lived in sort of a bubble.
Yes.
And then the edge of the kind of dome that surrounded.
Yeah.
Was kind of a no-go area. Maybe they, maybe there's this, there's a, maybe something there.
Would there be something in that?
Good. Just a thought.
Just occurred to me there.
This is a direct quote from one of the scientists' think tanks. Has anyone considered the Truman Show?
So in the spring of 2007, the government shut down Verando's study for economic and bureaucratic reasons. So basically they had just...
Because they're getting nowhere.
Nowhere.
It's just embarrassing.
Theory
everywhere.
After theory and their wild theories, right? The group asked the government to renew the funding and presented a short report. Basically, the report saying that the town seems like an enigma. It was a 7-page summary of their findings. The summary put forward the group's working hypothesis that fires were caused by electromagnetic pulses of great power coming from the direction of the sea near Coronia. The team believed that experimental application of industrial technology, not excluding the possibility that it could be electromagnetic weapon system, was what was behind the fire. So basically the theory that someone was testing a very powerful laser.
Under the ocean.
Now, an Italian, this theory was mocked. An Italian physicist says electromagnetic waves mean everything and nothing. There is no source of high, I cannot think of any sources of high electromagnetic emissions that would be able to cause fires except for a very, very powerful laser. He pointed out that if the fires were caused by a laser or similar instrument, they would be unlikely to occur inside the homes. Rather, the laser would be burning the exteriors.
Yeah. So even I can come up with that.
After the summary,
it's been told to me.
So after the summary was released, journalists were hounding the research group for their complete report, but that report never materialized. Verando, the leader of the group, said that he didn't want to generate alarm. It was only for a matter of prudence and to avoid speculation in the press was why they didn't release the full report. Not that they didn't have it done. So the residents started kind of returning to their normal lives. The weapon, the anti-military activist, so there was an anti-military activist, Antonio Mazzeo, who was kind of just continuing this weapons theory. But nothing really became of it. His belief was that a government cover up in Kineto, there was that the area is being used by the US and NATO for extensive air and naval exercises. He became interested in the fires when he saw the summary and launched an investigation of his own. He was sure the fires had a military cause, but it sounds like he had a bit of an agenda. Mm. So he was like, but if you add the negligent attitude of the government and the Italian military authorities, I'm increasingly convinced that it's something to do with international militaries. So loads and loads of theories, right? But from 2007 up until 2014, all seems to be returning to normal in the little town. It's pretty quiet. Everyone is continuing to live their lives back in their homes. But in 2014, the fires return.
Get out.
No way.
More violently than ever before.
It's Elon.
In one 18-hour period, there were 48 blazes.
Holy shit.
Six of them were in the home of Pizzino's mother. An embroidery basket tucked away in a closet burned, then a sofa bed, loose wires caught fire.
Not the crafting.
As did electrical outlets, and it's a fire risk. As did electrical outlets and a television. Residents were sleeping outside in shifts so that someone could be awake to alert the fire department.
Oh my God.
Yeah. One man, two women suffered inexplicable burns. Other people in the village experienced swelling and inflamed muscles.
Get out.
One resident told a reporter, now we feel that we are victims of something bigger than us.
Yes, yeah. This is... So it's 2014. So presumably there's going to be more in... Now they're... I mean...
Well, it's just going on. There was a lot of interest in it initially, but it's because it's so strange that it went quiet and then returned. So summoned once again to inspect the electrical circuits, ENEL representatives thought it could be wires short circuiting, but it seemed unlikely. In the first instance, they had actually come under pressure to replace a lot of the wiring, and it had been done. So they said there was no way that it could be to do with the wiring and the electrical things underneath ground. Again, they're kind of leaning back on the electromagnetic fields and not understanding where they come from. They described it as living in a microwave because of the kind of currents that were going on and how random the fires were starting.
God. The burns on the body. Very strange.
Yeah. So Pizzino again is the face of the fires, and he's saying to the press that he's they're just living, you know, in fear all the time.
You'd move. You would like, move if you could.
But you're not going to get the because they don't understand
the fucking gaff.
Yeah, and because they don't understand the causes of the fires, they're not getting any insurance payouts. Like,
I mean, it's Jesus, like sting balls.
Yeah, because it's a constantly under investigation.
Very stressful.
Towards the end of August of 2014, then the evacuation orders come again. Pizzino left along with his mother, two elderly aunts. He took his wife and son and in-laws to a nearby marina. His aunts went to stay with their families. They left in vans and in trucks and filmed to the brim with their belongings. Jeez. For a few days, there was one family who were left who needed a few days to organize their move, were the only inhabitants left in the town.
Creepy.
So
yeah,
by September 24th and 25th, Pizzino was recounting that there were some up to 50 fires per night, and the fire department had to call in another town for backup. 2 weeks later, there was residents trying to help clean up the damage when new fires were starting. Jeez. Other residents from nearby towns were saying it was total chaos. Fires kept coming as fast as you could put them out.
Satan looks more and more.
Yeah, likely. One day...
covert US military ops.
Yeah. One day, this woman was alone in a cellar attached to Pizzino's house when it just caught fire. She screamed for help. I was afraid for myself because I couldn't breathe. Everything was dirty. There were so many things burning, abandoned.
Jesus.
Great episode of Station 19 this would be. So it'd be full season. There was a journalist investigating the story for Atavist magazine, and he spoke to a kind of a new crew who were put in charge of trying to figure out what happened. And he said, as soon as the fires broke out in 2014, the first order of business was to install hidden cameras in the town. There was no small task because the town wasn't going to be evacuated until late August, and everyone was out in the streets all the time, so it was almost impossible to set up secret cameras without anyone seeing. But four cameras had been installed in Via Mare, facing the homes in the street, and had been filming for 24 hours a day for 8 months. So a man called Divani brought some of the footage for this journalist to watch, and from a recording on September 24th, you can see Pizzino and his son Giuseppe ample around at one end of the street near a truck. The two men disappear for a minute behind the front of the vehicle, then walk away.
No.
A moment later, the men returned and the truck and begin peering in the window. Pizzino flings open the door and the truck is smoking.
Oh.
So not necessarily that they had set it on fire, but that they were, for the lot of the time, present
around when the fires started.
When significant fires started.
With his son, who was what age?
So Giuseppe, in 2014, was 25.
Okay, an adult male.
But had been 15 at the time of the other
Still
fires.
Still well capable of lighting a match.
A moment later, the men return the truck. It's on fire. So as the truck is smoking, as Giuseppe walks behind a shed across the street from the Pizzino's home, his father stands on the other side of the street chatting with a group of men. Soon the men discover that the shed is burning. A plastic bag filled with clothing has caught fire.
Now,
on the same day, Giuseppe appears to set fire to his uncle's Fiat Bravo, how Italian, and his cousin his cousin's Alfa Romeo.
Oh, very Italian.
So it's Giuseppe.
It seems that Giuseppe is involved in setting
some of
the fires.
But also his dad, Tony's in looking, on it too.
Yeah, looking Bizarre. At the footage, what they describe the Giuseppe as moving around like an acrobat.
What?
So all told...
stop you right there. What the fuck? Giuseppe like a
doing
cat
a little,
bird. Like bird
moving
little
around.
Parkour.
What's the Pink Panther theme tune?
Da-da.
So Giuseppe and Tony may well have been terrorizing now, this entire town.
Stick with me.
No,
right?
I need it to be
okay,
there.
I have a theory. Tony was in charge of insurance, yeah?
Yeah.
Probably most of these people.
Probably time to tell you now that Giuseppe was also working for his father.
Okay. And most of these people probably had their insurance with Tony.
Yeah.
And then Tony just wanted a way of not having to pay out ever.
But no, because an insurance broker doesn't want any drama.
But if this is the kind of drama that renders your house insurance null and void.
True.
That's what I mean. It's another double bluff.
So
everyone, you know, so everyone, but no one gets paid.
So hang on. True. At this point, we've brought in the army. Oh, we have various engineers do reports. We have a global sort of question mark over this town. We're looking at the volcano. We've got fucking lasers on the
line. We've looked at everything.
Meanwhile, 15-year-old Giuseppe, who was at the start 15,
seems to be fire happy.
And yeah. Tony.
And now, just a bit of CCTV was all they needed.
Do stick with me here. Okay, fine. Stick with me here, right? So all in total, the police documented about 40 instances in which Giuseppe and some cases his father were implicated. They accused Pizzino of sounding alarm about certain fires and claimed that he had criminal designs and was working with his son. The police said that from the outset, they thought that Giuseppe was acting suspiciously, trying to draw attention to the fires. He always seemed to be close when they started.
Yes.
Flames would erupt in an area he'd recently been in and he would make a fuss about it, alerting the press to come and see. And weren't both men showing fires to the media as though it was like a haunted town?
Fuck me.
Holy shit, boss. What is their angle?
According to
this is Occam's razor time.
Yeah.
They went all around the houses, literally and metaphorically, to come up with these theories, and it was right in front of them.
Yeah. Now, according to the press, the theory was that Giuseppe had set the fires in order to raise a level of media attention and institutional attention to the town.
For what creating reason?
People would visit it, I guess, and
This was an act to increase tourism.
What a weird idea for a 15-year-old to have.
But also,
it's very 15-year-old, isn't it?
Well, not necessarily. So we get down to it. We're talking now about the time in 2014 when we have the footage, okay?
Okay.
So in the police who were investigating this did tap Pizzino's phone and recorded many conversations in which Pizzino, the father, spoke desperately about trying to get money for damages and drum up interest in the fires, talking about television appearances and reimbursement. In one taped conversation, he mentions a massacre that had happened after an earthquake and the relatives of those people who had died in the crash were fighting the Italian government in court to receive millions of dollars in damages.
Yes, interesting.
So they had... So Pizzino had said on the phone, "I got myself a lawyer who took care of the massacre. He knows what the fuck to do." So he's talking about compensation.
Which isn't necessarily to finger him for guilt.
Yeah. And then the other person on the line saying, "I don't want a house. I want money." Anyone who lost property would have been entitled to compensation. But the police also recorded a conversation in Pizzino talking to Giuseppe about the methods of setting up fires.
Oh.
They speak in guarded language and Pizzino was worried that the police have monitored his son's internet searches. So Pizzino says to his son, "I think they've seen something, Pepe." He says, "I don't know. Pepe. Maybe something on the internet that you searched for. You looked for one of these incendiary powders or a laser." Right. The comment about the laser jet was widely reported in the press, proof of Giuseppe's guilt. Yet a device, if one existed, was never found, and the police don't know how the fires were set.
My God.
So in March 2015, Giuseppe was arrested and charged with arson, conspiring to commit fraud and sounding a false alarm. Pepe's grandmother cried and again to reporters saying, "They don't believe it. If my grandson had to do what he said they did, we would all be rich because he would have had extraordinary powers." She told, yeah, like now. There was, in the wake of his arrest, three different kind of camps of people emerged. One camp believed that Giuseppe was responsible for the fires in 2014,
yes,
trying to once again draw attention to the town and get compensation for the fires that had occurred previously.
Oh.
We still know that there were electromagnetic forces in 2004 and that weird pattern of fires and fires that were occurring in places where the guys weren't. So there must have been a wider network of people involved if that was the case, because he couldn't have possibly been at them all.
Yes, but could those others have spontaneously just been natural sort of firing? Like, are they drawing them all together? Where they
out of sense of ease, they want to have someone to point the finger at. The second camp believed that Giuseppe was responsible for all the fires. And some believed that he was just being framed, essentially. The mayor at the time in 2014 said, "I do not believe the resident to be guilty of some fires and hope that the continued investigation makes it clear." He promised to go back and was urging the government to not be swayed by a few instances that the police were sure Giuseppe was responsible for. And that's kind of where...
up to date.
Pretty much...
he was ever... he was charged. The dad, Tony Giuseppe.
Yeah.
The son?
No, sorry. Tony Giuseppe wasn't... Tony Pizzino wasn't charged. Giuseppe Pizzino was charged.
Pepe.
Yeah.
Pepe went down for it.
People basically were just... So there was a couple of different camps of people. People believed that maybe Pepe was a little bit crazy. He was a bit of like a party goer and party animal. Yeah.
He liked to socialize. That's possibly the reason for all of this pyro.
Drugs. Whoa.
Weird.
The financial... Like the money that went in to finding out the source of these mysterious fires. The effort.
Now, a lot of people just still believe that there is something.
No, they need to let it go. It's Pepe.
Thank God no let one it go. Died.
I don't know that if
no one did die.
People burned and stuff. I don't know that one boy could have been responsible for all of those fires.
Maybe a whole town. I think there's
there's more people involved in it. But we still don't understand why the electromagnetic fields forces.
But we do know that Tony knew what his son was at.
We do know that Tony knew his son.
So maybe Tony could have, to take the heat off Pepe, lit a few fires out in the garden or out the field way. Mm. And then everyone was like, oh shit, they're happening here as well.
And maybe it was like an unorganized, like osmosis that one, you know,
fires can be very addictive as well.
That other maybe, people are setting fires too.
Exactly.
They're like, there's so many fires
going. My living room. She's got a fire in hers.
There's so many fires happening. No one's going to notice if I set something on fire over here.
I've always wanted to set a house on fire. Now's my chance.
Yeah, I'll get away with
and
it.
And if she's getting a new gaff, I am too. So I'm setting my kindling, my knitting's going up now.
Yeah, tonight. I'll sacrifice the craft.
Yeah.
So
bit of crochet up in flames. Cassie, thrilling.
It was.
Thank you.
You're very, very
love
welcome.
It. Beautiful. Thank you. That draws us to a close. Please tease the hive for the dear listeners as this is a main. Draw them in.
On the hive, we have the windy, twisty tale of Isaac Cappy. And Cassie and I both get red-pilled.
Totally.
Fucking deadly.
All right. Love yous.
Bye.